Good morning. Just want to welcome everyone here today as we get to gather together and worship our Lord and Savior this morning. And I just kind of want to give a brief introduction. We're going to take a break from Hosea for a couple weeks. And because I think over the past few weeks, the Lord has kind of led me just seeing some of the burdens that we've gone through, whether it's burdens of sickness, maybe some people are just weighted down worldly, I think there's just a lot of burdens that are hitting home with either illnesses, sickness, loss of loved ones, loss of brothers, and I think we're just carrying some heavy burdens. So today I want to bring comfort to us. As we kind of been going through the past few weeks, I've been leaning heavily on this verse, and this comfort isn't just something for just right now. It's comfort for eternity. It's comfort that brings our souls rest in hard and heavy, burdensome times. It's comfort that doesn't burden you down, but it's comfort that lifts you up as we look to the grace that has been bestowed upon us through Christ Jesus. You see, this comfort is found in the salvation that only Jesus can give. And it's not just about what we're saved from, even though we are saved from God's wrath, but it's about what we're and who we are saved to. It's Christ. It's Christ. And this knowledge of salvation is the only thing that I can think of that could comfort in a way that would give our souls rest. You see, when we look to the salvation of Jesus, he doesn't promise to take away all the burdens in our lives. But it's a promise that we're not going to be overcome by them. And so this week, my goal today, as we read from Matthew 11, 25 through 30, Jesus is saying, come to me. He's saying, come to me. So my goal today is that by seeing salvation on how we come to Christ, we also see in this passage what that means for us today, for our weary and labored and burdened down souls. And he says he will give us rest. This is the word of God, Matthew 11, 25 through 30. And at that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. He says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, we thank you so much for today. God, as we get to look to the invitation that Jesus gives for salvation, as we get to understand what that means, as the deep understanding that comes throughout your word, God, I pray that it would comfort us today, that your word would give our souls rest, as we trust and believe in you. Jesus, may you be exalted today. May we run to you. May we come to you. May we have a deeper love for you as we take rest upon your yoke, as we submit to your kingship and your authority. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So how we come to Christ, what does that mean? And I ask that because today, when we look at this passage, we see Jesus is building a foundation for the invitation to come to him. It's kind of like you have to lay the foundation to build the house upon, or it'll just wash away. Jesus is laying the firm foundation, something so secure that nothing will snatch his people out of his hands. And we see that today. So we have to build the foundation. And that's what we see when we come here in verses 25 through 26. We see that he is building a foundation and that we get to rest assured in that foundation. You see, a lot of people today want to say that salvation is just based upon man, and man has to earn it, or man has to do something for it. We see that a lot today, whether it's, you know, you have to come down front. If you don't come down front, then you're not saved. You have to be baptized. If you're not baptized, you're not saved. That you have to do something for it. And if you don't do something, you lose it. Or if something doesn't go your way, or if you're not being blessed, then you're not having enough faith. We live in the area of the word of faith, where sickness or illness or something bad will happen to you because you don't have faith, or you don't have enough of it. And so therefore, when illness comes or sickness, then you don't have something to rest assured on. You don't have something strong. You don't have a firm foundation for your salvation. So how we come to Christ is so important. It's so important that we understand this deep understanding, because Jesus gives it here for us for a reason. You see, how we come is not by our own wisdom. We do not come to Christ by our own wisdom and understanding. Verses 25 and 26, he says, "At that time, Jesus declared, 'I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to the little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will.'" So we see the will of God was that he would hide this message, these things, this idea of salvation from the wise and understanding. And he's thanking God, the Father, for this. And you go, wow. You see, what he's meaning by that is when we look to the section right above in verses 20 through 24, we see that Jesus has been going about Galilee and has been preaching and teaching on the kingdom of God. He's been doing miraculous signs, miraculous wonders, all pointing to the fact that he was who he said he was, that he was the Son of God. He was the Messiah. He is the Christ. And you would think when you saw all these healings, all these people being healed, as he mentioned it in verse 6, as John's, or in Matthew 11, sorry, verses 1 through 6, when the death here and the dead are raised, and the people are, and the blind receive their sight. They're asking, "Is this the Christ?" And he's saying, "Yes, these are happening. You can trust in me." But the people in Galilee, you would think, when they saw this, would accept him as the Christ. But they denied him. And he says, "Woe to you, woe to you. If the mighty works done had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes." You see, these things were hidden. These things for the wise and understanding. It's not just people that have knowledge, but it's the people that think that they know more than God, that they're trusting them own selves for salvation. They're leaning upon their own wisdom and understanding for salvation. But he's saying that it's not the wise that come to Christ. It's not that what we get from earthly understanding. He's not saying that smart people are excluded, but he's saying that it's revealed to the little children. See, there's a compare and a contrast here. He's comparing babies to people who are wise and intelligent, not referring about their mental ability, but their proud spiritual attitude. God reveals it to babies So that way, when we come, not with our own understanding, but with humility, just like a baby is very dependent. A baby has humility. A baby doesn't just eat solid food, but it depends upon milk. It doesn't just, 1 Corinthians 13:11 talks about those who have not learned to speak yet, referring to babies. Ephesians 4:14, of those who are helpless. You see, when we understand that it's not by our own wisdom that we come to salvation, but it's God who reveals it. It's God who gives us something that we previously did not know. It's something that was hidden from us, but now he reveals the secret. It shows us that we come with humility. We come not with our own understanding, not with our own wisdom. Just as a baby comes, a baby is utterly helpless. A baby has to be revealed the truth. And that's why in Matthew 5, he talks about those who come into the kingdom of God are those who are poor in spirit. They're not rich in the knowledge, or they don't have this great understanding, but they understand that they're just spiritually empty and bankrupt. They're spiritual beggars. You see, but when we look at our society today, it's the exact opposite, is it not? You see, during that time, the Pharisees were saying that, you know, you had to have this great understanding. This it was the opposite of babies. It was the exact opposite. You had to have this great spiritual intellect or wisdom. And that's what our society teaches today. That you have to have some type of grand idea of, or when you come, you got to get right with God in order to get God. You have to know how to be right. And see, if we look at this, then it's the idea that we are just glorifying ourselves. We're glorifying our self-worth. But when we look at Nicodemus in John 3, we have to have this understanding. Nicodemus was the Pharisee of Pharisees. He was in the high council that helped rule Israel. He was part of the Sanhedrin. And what did Jesus tell him? Jesus told him, you got to be born again. You have to start all over, Nicodemus. You got to become a baby. That's what he was telling him. You see, when we come to Christ, we come because it's not by our own wisdom or understanding. It's because he has revealed himself to us. Verse 27. He said, all things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. So God is showing that he has to reveal himself in order for us to come. And that revelation, we see three things here as we come to Christ, as he is revealing himself. We see, number one, that Jesus is God. He says, my Father has handed everything over. My Father, he's equating himself here to God, the Father. You know, in that time when there was a king and he had a son, he said, my father, if he said that prince would say, my father, the king, it was equating himself to kingship. And we understand when Jesus comes and reveals himself to us as babies, that he's revealing himself as God. And this is what actually crucified Jesus. In John 10, 30 through 31, he says, I and the Father are one. As he was saying that he was one with God, what did the crowd want to do? The crowd wanted to stone him. They wanted to stone him. And we see that Jesus, being God, has all things have been handed over to him. So that's the second thing we see here, that he's God and that all things have been handed over to him. That means that all things, being that all authority, sovereignty, truth, and power have been handed over to Jesus. And that's what he reveals to us. That's why Matthew is building this idea that Jesus is God and that all things have been handed over to him. Matthew 28, 18, he says, "And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me." He is God and he has all authority. And the third thing we see here is that no one comes to the Father except who he reveals himself to. Number three, it takes a heavenly revelation to know that Jesus is God. John MacArthur says this, that divine truth can only be divinely perceived and divinely imparted. Do you get that? Divine truth can only be divinely perceived and divinely imparted. You see, we have to stop listening to the world that says that there is no God or that Jesus is not who he says he is. We have to stop listening to those people. But we have to listen to the word of God. You see, when we come, how do we come? We come with the revelation that Jesus has given us. It's not something we have conjured up. It's not something we have made up. It's not something that we can think of or had the heart to do. It has to be divinely bestowed. Do you understand what that means for the foundation of your life to trust and believe in Jesus? That God in heaven, the creator of the heavens, the stars, the universe, has given you and divinely imparted to you the knowledge of salvation. That is something firm that nobody can take away. No one will snatch you out of his hands because he has revealed it. He will not go back on his decisions to take it back. Amen. That is good news as we come and to be comforted, the fact that God in heaven has bestowed godly revelation on us. Martin Luther here says that here the bottom falls out of all merit, all powers and abilities of reason, or the free will of men's dreams of, that men dream of, it all counts nothing before God. Christ must do and must give everything. You see, the idea that we're going to earn this just goes out the door. How comforting is that to you? As we come to Christ, he's done it all. He's given it all. He's given you everything. That's the foundation I'm talking about. He's revealed to you that he is God. He has revealed to you that he has all authority in heaven and earth. And he has revealed himself to you. Church, let that comfort you. Let that sink deep down and take root in your life. Because what that's going to do here now that he has given that knowledge and he has done that, listen to what he does now next. He gives you an invitation. He gives you an invitation as he is giving you godly revelation. And only the person that's emptied of all human wisdom will be filled with divine truth. So what does it mean for us as we come to Christ, as we have laid that foundation that he is God, he has all authority, he has given us heavenly revelation, and we come just completely emptied like a baby? What does that mean for us? It means now when we come to Christ, we find rest for our souls. That's what it means. Listen to this in verse 28. He says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Come to me. Come to me. It's not do more, try harder. That's everything around us says do more, try harder, work faster. That's what the Pharisees demanded, that they would lay such a burden on you by the law to do. See, when we say it's based upon merit, it's do more, try harder. But Jesus says, come to me. I've already laid the foundation for you to come. I've revealed it for you. I've given you the wisdom because you had none, because you were a baby. I've done it. He says, come to me. See, if we think it's do more, try harder, we're going to look back over our life and we're going to have regret. You see, looking back just over the past month, we've gone through struggle, physical, mental, emotional, whether it was sickness, there's just so much sickness. And if we're going to burden ourselves with this, there's going to be external and internal forces that's going to stress us out, even on a cellular level. You know, when we are stressed, we have an increased hormone called cortisol that just stresses us out. It brings us to fatigued. And it affects your whole body. And I think that's what we, when we look here, that's what Christ is saying. He's saying, come to me, all who labor and heavy laden, come to me. Have faith in me. Trust in me. I know you're weary. I know that you're burdensome. And that's what this word means, labor. It means that someone who is weary, tired, drowsy, they're to the point of exhaustion, they're fatigued. It's like the idea that you're going on a hot, long journey and you're now just exhausted completely. And this idea of being heavy laden, it's something like, it's, it has this idea that it's something that has happened in the past but has effects in the now. It's something that it had, someone has just put a great load and just dumped it on your back. And now you're just carrying it. And now you have are just to the point of exhaustion. You see, Jesus, when we look at this, he says, come to me. Have faith in me. This adverbial clause here is now pointing to the verb, which says, I will give you rest. And who's to come? Those who are laborious and heavy laden. Those who are exhausted. Church, this should give us rest. This should give us comfort in knowing that as we come in faith and we submit to Jesus, the Lordship, that he is God and he has all authority. And what he says, I will give you rest. I will give you relief from your toil. I will bring something about to an end, to a conclusion. It's finished. The person who's drowsy will take rest. That's what he is saying. Dane Ortlund, in his book, Gentle and Lowly, which we have out there, if you haven't read it, it's a must read. He says, you don't need to unburden or collect yourself and then come to Jesus. You see what Jesus is saying here? He says, come to me if you're laborious. Come to me if you're tired. Come to me if you feel burdened. You don't have to unload yourself. No, you come to him with those burdens. He says, your very burden is what qualifies you to come to him. You see, it's because of those burdens that you are going to go to Jesus and you are going to find rest. It's those very burdens that qualify you to come to him. And his rest, it's not a transaction, church. It's a gift. It's not a transaction. It's not something you have earned. You come as a baby. You come with no wisdom. You come poor in the spirit. You are the poor and needy. You come with all of your struggles, and it's not something you earn. It's not a transaction. It's a gift, something that he gives you. It's what we call grace. You come whether you are actively working hard to crowbar your life into smoothness, which is laborious, or you're passively finding yourself weighed down by something outside your control, which is heavy laden. Jesus Christ desires that you find rest. That's what Jesus' desire is for you. You see, this rest is that, number one, knowing that we have peace now with God. That's what we know now that this rest brings, that we have peace with God because we have come to him in faith and he has now justified us before God. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Your greatest struggle in life is the sin that has brought you before God. But Jesus now removes that. And now, because you were once God's enemy, now you have peace with God. He has justified you. He has made you right before him. And that has brought you peace and rest before God. But this rest is used in many different ways. You see, as we are laborious and heavy laden, we find that there are different needs. And that's why John uses this language. Rest is, and believing and having faith is also used that in John 6:37, all that the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. Do you feel down and outcast? Come to Jesus, he'll never cast you out. John 6:35, Jesus said to them again, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Is your soul hungry? Is it thirsting for something? Come to Jesus, and he'll provide. You see, when we come to Jesus, when we come to Christ, we come to learn. So what does it mean when we come to him? We come to learn. We come to learn under his yoke. You see, the Pharisees were saying, you need to do more, try harder under the law. But Jesus says to them, he says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You see, a yoke is something that was made of wood that would be casted and put around the neck and shoulders of a particular animal, that it would drive the plow. And this yoke was part of a harness that used to pull a cart. You know, it would plow as the master would stand behind the animal and kind of whip it and guide it and it to it be useful. You see, when we come to Jesus, we come to learn from him. And this yoke is not burdensome. This yoke is lifelong. You know, it's to give us the reminder that even though we're not promised like freedom from all illness and all calamity, but it's something that we can bear. You know, 2 Corinthians 4:8-9, Paul says it this way. He says, we are afflicted in every way, just reminding that we will be afflicted, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. And this is what it means to come under the yoke of Christ as we learn from him, that our souls will find rest. So it's not something, again, that we're going to earn, but it's something that when we come to Christ, that we learn. We learn how to take and trust in him, that even though we come into all these afflictions, we're not crushed, we're not driven to despair, we're not forsaken, we're not struck down, we're not destroyed. You see, what he says here is that when we learn from him, there's kind of a play on words here. He says, learn from me. Methano. It means to learn. It means, too, that it's very similar to the word methetes, which is a disciple. So as we come to learn, we come to be discipled by Christ. Not driven to despair by effects of the law. You see, salvation is so that we are created by God for good works. Ephesians 2:10, we're created in Christ Jesus for good works. We're prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So as we come, We come submitting to him. And why would we do so? Because we come to Christ because he is gentle and lowly. He says, I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. This passage right here, you know, when we look to Christ, we see Christ in many ways, that he is the one who's the Messiah. He's the one who has justified us. He's the one that sanctified us. He's the one that keeps saving us. But here, Matthew gives us and opens up the door of Christ's heart. You see, many people look to Jesus that he's the whack-a-mole. You remember that game, the whack-a-mole? It'd pop up, bam, knock it down. And they think so much that you have to be right and get right before you come to Jesus. But we come to him because he is gentle and lowly. This is his heart. This is who Jesus is. He is gentle and lowly in heart. He's not the proud. Even though he's the King of Kings, he's the lowly servant. Even though he's the Lord of Lords, he has shown us his heart, not to lord it over us, but he's showing that we would come because he cares, that he is gentle and lowly in heart. See, this shows that when we submit to Christ and we put his yoke on us, that he says that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Do you need a light burden today? Submit to Christ. Dane Ortlund says this about being gentle and lowly of Christ. He says, in the one place in the Bible where the Son of God pulls back the veil and lets us peer way down into the core of who he is, we are not told that he is austere and demanding in heart. We are not told that he is exalted and dignified in heart. We're not even told that he is joyful and generous in heart. Letting Jesus set the terms, his surprising claim is that he is gentle and lowly in heart. See, we see the veil pulled back on who Jesus is. You see the Savior's heart. He's not lording it over you. He's inviting you. As you come, by the means by which you come, he has laid the foundation that we get to take comfort in. But he's also given us the invitation. And by doing so, he even pulls the veil back on who he is. He is gentle and lowly. Church, as we close today, let that comfort you today. Knowing that your Savior, as you believe and trust in him, that he has made the way for you to come. We get to take comfort that he has made the way as he's died upon the cross. But he's also shown you who he is. He's not this God who's pulled way back. He's the God that unveils his heart, that we would desire and come to him. Not cleaning ourselves up, but coming as we are with our burdens and our labors, being weary and exhausted. Let us take comfort in who Jesus is as we close today. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for today as we get to come, God, and just see who you are, as we get to hear the message of salvation as Jesus has invited us, as he has shown us to make the way for us. God, I pray that as we come today, that we come bearing our burdens to you, that we come weary and exhausted, and that we can take comfort in who you are and what you have done for us, Lord. That we can take comfort in how you have revealed yourself, that you are gentle and lowly. Let us come to you now in faith, in Jesus' name. Amen.